Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
To Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, September 26th, 2023. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Melody.
Hi.
Happy National Pancake Day.
Ooh, I like pancakes.
So do I.
Who doesn't?
We ran out of pancake mix over the weekend, so I celebrated today with scrambled eggs. What else are you going to do?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Hey, also, tomorrow night's the second Republican presidential candidate debate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I note on this day in 1960, U.S. Senator John F. Kennedy Jr. squared off against Vice President Richard Nixon in the first ever televised debate. I'd like to say that that was a good thing, but 60-some years later.
How many years later?
63, maybe.
Oh, Lord.
What a clown show it's become. And you know what? 9 years later, 1969 today, one of my favorite adolescent TV shows premiered. You care to guess what it was?
I don't know.
It was The Brady Bunch.
Oh.
There you have it. For 5 years, it was on the tube.
Wow. Wow. I always liked, I was at Lost in Space.
Oh, yeah, that was one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, Will Smith, Dr. Smith. And
Danger.
Oh, yes.
Like, what we say when we hear the word Federal Reserve today.
Yes, danger. Well, let's go ahead and see what gold did today. Well, you know, we got some pressure on gold. You know, we have a little bit of a strong. They're going to run the dollar again, so we might see some more pressure on gold. But I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, it is temporary. So, you know, get what you can while you can and buckle up. You have gold today hovering at 1900. 1901, silver 2294, platinum 912, and palladium 1258. And the USDX, it did go over 106, 106.22. Crude oil was back over 90, close to 91, basically 90 and a half. paper markets today. They brought them back here in the last half hour of trade, as they always do. The Dow was down 400 points, the worst day since March, and 33,618. The S&P was down 1.5%, along with the NASDAQ, also a little over 1.5%. European markets, they were all negative except the FTSE. And Asian markets, they were all negative. And they were pretty much all down over 1%. Hang Seng was down 1.5%. So that means I would think that the 10-year yield is stronger, and it is. It hovers near a 15-year high, 4.55. Natural gas, that was also up, 2.64, just up 0.25%. So not any big number going there. But so we'll have to see what's going on with these markets. Big day with the Dow shedding near 400 points. And I guess economic worries are returning. You know, it's just like, okay. Returning, if you had any sense with you or any brain, you would know your worry should always be with you because those problems didn't go away. Problems just don't go away and come back, you know, but it's all how it's all speak is, all the speak. And yeah, you said, you know, we should worry about the Federal Reserve. Danger, danger. And now they come out and Cash Carey, he's the Minneapolis Fed president, said, you know, he expects the Fed is going to need to raise rates one more time this year and keep the policy tight for longer if the economy is stronger than expected. He told a bunch of students at the Wharton School last night, if the economy is fundamentally much stronger than we realized, that would tell me rates probably would go a little bit higher and then be held higher for longer to cool things off. And I think any of us that live in the real world, we understand that the economy is not as strong as what they say it is. But hey, so they're all talking about rates going higher. It isn't the economy, it's the inflation is going to be going higher. This is what they're trying to battle with their increase of their, the rates. Diamond said that the Fed's key borrowing rate could rise significantly from its current target. And he's talking about maybe 7%. But he doesn't think the world is prepared for 7%. I don't think the world is prepared for 5% for any length of time. Or 4%. But so, Dave, what
well,
say
you? Well,
you
know, to emphasize his point, Diamond referenced Warren Buffett's much-cited quote, only when the tide goes out do you discover who's been swimming naked. They said about the rate surge, that will be the tide going out. These 200 basis points will be more painful than the 3% to 5% move.
Of course.
Last week, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said the Fed won't hesitate to raise rates or keep them at elevated levels if it feels like inflation's on a sustained trajectory. If it doesn't feel that it's on a sustained trajectory lower. The Treasury yields have been on the rise since last week's Fed meeting. 10-year note hovering at 16-year highs now. Wolf Research cautioned today that the benchmark could hit 5% before the end of the year from its current level of 4.55. At the same time, Fed researchers in a white paper released yesterday noted the high level of inflation uncertainty, which they said will be acting as a headwind to U.S. growth and pose challenges for monetary policy. So they believe that that kind of uncertainty will have an impact on industrial production, consumption, to 70% of our economy, and corporate investment.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, sales of new single-family homes fell more than expected in August. And, of course, you know, hey, the 30-year fixed mortgage is above 7%. New home sales plunged 8.7% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of $675,000. This is all from the Commerce Department. July sales pace was revised higher to 739,000 units from the previously 714,000. New home sales are counted at the signing of a contract, making them a leading indicator of the housing market. And so I don't know. However, then they go on and, you know, then they say, well, you know, they can be volatile on a month-to-month basis. So no wonder people are easily swayed as far as what's going on. There's so much conflicting information that is always given anytime a report comes out. New home sales remain supported by a dearth of previously owned homes on the market. The resurgence in mortgage rates is reducing affordability. And, 7%, above 7% in August. Climbed to an average of 7.19% last week. And this is the highest since July of 2001. Yeah, that's going to put a damper on the housing market.
Well, mortgage rates, we know, are rising in tandem with Treasury yields, which have surged in part on worries that soaring oil prices could hamper the Fed's fight against inflation. Fed's raised the policy rate 5.25 percentage points since March last year. Data that we reported here last week showed the National Association of Home Builders Housing Market Index dropped in September below the break-even mark of 50 for the first time in 5 months. Surveys measure a prospective buyer's tumbled to the lowest level since February. Now, new home sales are counted at the signing of a contract, again, making them a leading indicator of that market. However, as Melody indicated, they can be extremely volatile on a month-to-month basis. The median new house price last month was about a little over $430,000, decline of a little over 2% from a year ago. 436,000 new homes on the market at the end of last month, up about 5,000 from July. And that sales pace would take about 8 months to clear the supply of houses on the market, up from 7 months in July. They consider 6 months kind of like the break-even rate, where neither sellers nor buyers are in favorable markets.
Well, you know, another report came out about the confidence of American consumers. That slipped this month about the future. As we see, you know, they believe the interest rates will remain elevated for an extended period of time. The Business Research Group Conference Board said today that its consumer confidence index fell to 103 in September from 108.7 in August. That's a big drop. And so much bigger than what they were expecting. And of course, this index supposed to measures the assessment of current economic conditions and their outlook for the next 6 months. Most troubling reading was the decline in the index measuring future expectations. That tumbled to 73.7 in September from 83 in August. And readings below 80 for future expectations historically signal a recession within a year. But they don't view recessions anymore like they used to. Got a new equation for that. It's by industry. So consumers perceived likelihood of recession the next year rose. It did decline over the summer. And consumers may be hearing more bad news about corporate earnings while job openings are narrowing and interest rates continue to rise, making a big ticket items more expensive. The downturn in spending is beginning to reel itself in its quarterly financial report of some of the nation's biggest retailers. And Target, they recently reported its first quarterly sales decline in 6 years. Home Depot also reported a decline in sales with a fall off in big ticket items. And Best Buy sales and profits, they slid in the second quarter, as well as the nation's largest consumer electronics chain.
Again, with the consumer spending accounting for almost three quarters of our GDP here in the U.S. anyway, economists in particular pay close attention to the mood of consumers to figure out how it may be affecting the broader economy. Confidence improved actually late in the spring as inflation began to significantly ease from last year in the face of 11 interest rate hikes by the Fed. But the recent downturn reflects, they say, consumer anxiety over spending on non-essential goods, especially if they have to put it on a credit card with an elevated interest rate now averaging over 21%. And with record credit card debt, according to the Fed, it would appear that anxiety is well placed. American employers did add 187,000 jobs in August, still evidence of a slowing but still buoyant labor market despite these higher interest rates. A significant increase in the number of people actively looking for jobs, according to the government, and boosted its headline unemployment rate from 3.5 to 3.8% last month, the highest since February last year. But the government's U6 jobless rate, which is much more accurate, which includes discouraged job hunters, those who want a job but essentially stop looking for at least 6 months, was 7.1% last month. And that's the number they ought to be telling us more about and focusing in on. Tumbling inflation, sturdy hiring, both had raised hopes that the Fed, might slow the economy just enough to rein in inflation without tipping us into that broad recession that just seems so inevitable. And in many industries already so here. But recent data suggests that Americans might be beginning to tighten their budget belts, especially with the all-important holiday season fast approaching.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, if you have new home sales drop 8%, I mean, that's, you know, attach that to appliances, big ticket items at these stores. You know, they're not, although the builder is buying them and so forth and bulk and so forth, but, you know, like refrigerators, usually most of your contractors or your builders don't put refrigerators in new homes and stuff. So, you know, all that, it's what it just amazes me that we even see the numbers that we see or the numbers that they give, and because none of them make sense. You know, it's just the employment and everything else. We continue to see everybody who gets laid off. People aren't working. Even the strikers, I think they apply for unemployment and all this kind of stuff, don't they?
Oh, sure.
You know, they're laying them off and this and that. And it's like, it just doesn't seem to budge any of the numbers in any which way.
Well, in most states, they probably wouldn't qualify. That's largely why they're on their $500 a week stipend from the UAW, because they voluntarily quit as opposed to having been laid off. So that wouldn't be affecting.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. But we still see, you know, these manufacturers lay off people at the same time, not to the same numbers, but. But anyway, if you're looking for a part-time job, here's a place to go, UPS. They're hiring their usual 100,000 seasonal workers this year to support the holiday shipping rush. And, you'll be starting off with a higher pay. I mean, after all, their full-timers get, what, 140 or 170 or something like that?
It's up there.
Yeah, it's up there. So your pay is only going to be $21 and $23 so, an hour. depending on what position that you have. Teamster deal with UPS came as workers from pilots to aerospace manufacturing employees have pushed for and won the higher pay. And, I hear the music. I guess we're going to break. That means I have to be quiet. So we'll finish this up when we get back.
Of the United States. Kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Till the one day when the lady left this fellow, and they knew that it was much more than a hunt, that this group must somehow form a family. That's the way we all became the Brady Bunch, the Brady Bunch, the Brady Bunch. That's the way we became the Brady Bunch.
There you go, Dave. The Brady
Throwback
Bunch.
Throwback Tuesday. Love it.
How about that? I had a catchy little tune. Thank you, Todd. Now we're going to have to start mentioning all various different types of TV programs and see if he can find see if he can find the music to them. Thank you very much. 1-800-375-4188 for Discount Gold and Silver Trading. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And we got some silver eagles that are in here. We got some really nice prices on silver rounds. You can buy some silver rounds at $25. So it's a pretty good deal on 1 ounce silver round. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. These are the Buffalo rounds. And beautiful, very beautiful, what nice, white, and clean. And silver eagles, I just saw today, I got a new price sheet in from my wholesaler, and their premiums dropped again a little bit. So they were going up there for a while. And so give us a call, 800-375-4188. Heading into the program, we're talking about the UPS hiring 100,000 people for the holiday season and their starting salary. And I'm not quite sure if there's anything else that you wanted to add to that, Dave.
Well, just one fact that they listed in this article that I find fascinating, the fact that 80% of UPS's seasonal positions don't require an interview. according to a spokesperson. Although I'm sure they still do background checks, because, one would hope that they're not hiring a cadre of
illegal aliens.
thousands of people coming out of their fifth DUI conviction training classes. So that was interesting. Also, Amazon hiring 250,000 seasonal workers. They're also bumping their pay, but by a lot less, by $1.50 an hour to $20.50.
I believe Amazon should take some of those 250,000 and give them to the U.S. Post Office and pay for their wages to help the U.S. Postal Service, because these post offices get bogged down at the holidays and everybody else's mail and everything goes sidetracked. And because Amazon has the contracts with UPS, they get lower rates and everything else than people like us who are trying to help our customers and shipping and everything else. Our rates go up to help pay for Amazon. So just like anything else, that goes on, it always trickles down to something, and it isn't the wages and it isn't the benefits. It's always, the trickling down is, we pay for everybody pays for everybody else. It's just, it's just crazy, just absolutely crazy. On everybody's nose about the government shutdown that's coming October 1. Ooh. And, this is the same story that we have to repeat every now and then, and it's becoming too often every now and then. And Treasury Department has a quirky definition of default, whereby any mispayment is a default, but only if that payment is caused by the government running out of money. Well, they have a printing press. I don't suppose they'll ever run out of money to that degree. In each of 20 separate shutdowns since 1977, the government missed payments it had promised not to bondholders, but certainly to federal employees. And, hey, we're not going to miss any payments to Ukraine. That's still going to go through. But federal employees can't get paid, but we can pay Ukraine. And so the rating agencies don't consider shutdowns to be defaults either, but they do consider the main cause of shutdowns, government dysfunction, to be the main cause, Dave.
Yeah, well, I get your point about Ukraine, but if there's a shutdown, there won't be payments to government employees or to Ukraine.
No, they changed that. As far as I know, it was they put it in the DOD bill that Ukraine gets paid.
Well, they get paid when there's authorized appropriations. But they're looking, the administration's looking for an additional $24 billion that has not
been appropriated. Well, I'll guarantee Ukraine will get it.
That'll be interesting to see how that happens. In any event, Moody's expects federal interest payments to reach over 4.5% of GDP in 2033, well over double the 1.9% in 2022. Thanks to Congress's consistent inability to agree on annual budgets and pass appropriations funding. Moody notes that aligning political support around a comprehensive, credible, multi-year plan to arrest and reverse widening fiscal deposits appears extremely difficult in the current highly polarized environment. The math of bringing down America's mega budget deficits is not particularly hard, but fractured political institutions seem to have made it impossible to do so. I'll have more to say about the nation's debt in today's third segment, Melody.
Okay. I think we should go ahead and this is news today. And to me, I think politicians should stay out of it. But you have Biden visiting the striking auto workers on UAW picket line in Michigan today. The first time a president visited a picket line. And The strike doesn't seem, but it's now in its 12th day. Seems like it just started, Dave.
Time flies.
Yeah. And we got Trump there. He's going to speak in Michigan tomorrow. So, I mean, it's like, you know, just heat this stuff up even more. And, you know, the strike covers 38 plants and distribution centers across 20 states. And I heard Ford is putting a halt on the EV plant that they were going to build, a couple billion dollar plant. They put a hold on that. And it really is interesting to see all these, I don't know if you want to call them tentacles, going into these different areas of seeing how the push on these EVs and it's just weird, Dave. It just really is weird because you have, from what I hear, you hear these, the employees striking, but if they get what they want, it's going to help with the push of the EVs, which eliminates their jobs. So, you know, so I guess they're going to just live and make hay while the hay is there and worry about their futures later. I don't know. It's just crazy.
Well, politics do make strange bedfellows. That's for sure. We know that presidents haven't gotten this involved in labor strikes, either because, as most Republicans do, they oppose unions, or, like Democrats, take labor support for granted. Kate Bronfenbrenner, who's a professor at Cornell School of Industrial and Labor Relations, said this: Democrats don't want to anger business donors to their campaigns or anger Republicans so much that they're unable to pass key legislation. It's an interesting take on things. You know, Sean Fain, who's the UAW president, responded to a question about endorsing Biden and saying, look, we expect actions, not words. So it's interesting, for sure. I have a feeling, I'm guessing that the Ford Motor Company is going to resolve their part of the contract dispute before GM and Stellantis.
Not from what I'm hearing. I'm hearing they're going, you know, where they were held a little bit higher by the union, they're quickly falling. I don't know.
Well, I guess we'll see how things turn out. Meanwhile, you got a writer's strike that's tentatively resolved, and an actor's strike that's looked to actually be expanding. All bets are off for some peace and quiet as we head into the holiday season, a new television viewing season.
You know, it's just interesting that if this was not an election year for a president, neither one would have gone there. So it's just for votes. It's just that's all it's for. You talk about political stunts. This is one. And anyway, maybe the employees that are striking, maybe they appreciate it and so forth. But, you know, they shouldn't fool themselves thinking that these people really care. That's what's funny. Well, they really care. They really care for you.
Perhaps they should go the Hollywood and join the actors' strike. It's certainly a political theater. And a lot of today's politicians are just that, actors.
Yeah. I mean, hey, aren't they discriminating against every other group that's striking? They don't go visit them. You know. Anyway, it's crazy.
Well, it's easier to be seen with with blue collar types than to be associated with people who are getting $5-10 million a movie.
That's true. That's true. Very true. But there's a lot of people that, you know, who are, because every time, because for every worker, for every person that strikes, I don't think the multiplier is as great as layoffs. I don't know if it is, but it's multiplier by three. But because you don't have these people visiting the restaurants, going to lunch, doing this. So there's a lot of other smaller businesses that are being impacted. And of course, these are the billion, you know, we talk about the amount of money that these manufacturers are losing. But what about your small local businesses? They're losing money. Those are never talked about.
Yeah, the problem there is that they have a lot less buffer.
Exactly.
To be able to weather these storms, even, you know, 3-month storms without. Can you imagine being a mom and pop sandwich shop?
Yep.
You know, depending, you know, if you're down the street from a movie studio, and I mean, a lot of those places are catered now, but these mom and pop shops do a lot of the catering.
Yeah.
And to be out of that kind of income for any period of time, oh boy, that's got to be pretty devastating. Certainly worrisome.
And these and those types of businesses are never acknowledged. You know,
little guy. We acknowledge them.
Yep, little guy doesn't count, does he? No. Anyway, we're thinking about you, and we should all think about them. So if you have the opportunity, if you're out and about to visit one of those little shops, make sure that you do. And you know, we see these employers bracing for a major hike in healthcare costs. So they're sort of retooling their benefits. They're trying to provide some perks better targeted to workers. And healthcare costs for employers are expected to jump, to see their largest jump in a decade. And so employers are trying to shore up gaps in coverage of areas like mental health, women's health, while also keeping a lid on costs. In the past, especially with COVID, there are many, there have been a proliferation of let's offer all of these services. And now employers are asking, how do we avoid having to change our 401k match because of health care? At the same time, employers are doing what they can to stand out in a shallow labor pool. And Chief Revenue Officer for HSA Bank said right now the same of the game for employers is differentiation. It's a dog-eat-dog labor market now. You know, here's what experts are watching for during this fall's benefits season. They want better mental health options. Most large employers identified mental health resources as one of their most valued benefits, perhaps unsurprisingly, giving increasing demand and expectation from workers. I don't know. You have people working at home and don't want to come back. So how are these workers getting increased demand and expectation? Go ahead, Dave.
Well, they're also
maybe health. I misread that, but
To each his own, right? I mean, it's reasonable. There are also health adjacent perks. That's a newer addition to the benefits toolbox, what is known as an LSA, new acronym, Melody, Lifestyle Spending Account. Now, these are typically used to help employees pay for a gym membership or to buy home workout equipment, like a new Peloton. Buddy, employers can use these accounts to support non-health related benefits like home office renovations, tax preparation services, or even tuition reimbursement. These would be taxable benefits to an employee, but allow for reimbursement in reality, practically an unlimited amount by an employer. And then here's another interesting one I've never seen before. Menopause care, menopause support. has always been the focus on supporting reproductive age women through fertility, pregnancy, lactation services. But now there's growing recognition around that age at which women stop having their periods. In many cases, the support isn't that's offered isn't complicated or expensive, but just more greater focus on it.
What a bunch of weenies us Americans are. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. Yeah, we tease him a lot.
Welcome back.
Cause we got him on the spot.
Welcome back.
Yeah, we tease him a lot. Cause we got him on the spot.
And one more time today, as Mr. Carter says, welcome back to Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen, Melody, taking care of other client business. This final segment, you know where to get her, 1-800-375-4188. Thanks for that introduction, Todd. That was fantastic. Hey, most AAA-rated countries like Germany or Canada carefully plan their fiscal trajectory over the ensuing 5 to 10 years. And the U.S. can't even credibly promise to pay most of its employees next week. As a result, it's now at risk of losing the last of its much-coveted AAA credit ratings. America's economic and military might have combined to allow a level of fiscal complacency within its government that's incompatible with a risk-free rating, the coveted AAA. Federal government has lost control of its own spending, both in the short term and the long. That's certainly the message sent by Fitch when the rating agency downgraded the U.S. last month, and it's the message that was sent yesterday by Moody's as we hurtle toward that government shutdown next week. The Fitch downgrade attracted plenty of attention, plenty of criticism as well. And the timing was curious, coming right after a successful resolution of the debt limit debacle. But the firm's analysts may have had a point. For U.S. debt to be risk-free, the government has to be willing and able to service that debt and keep it under control. Standard & Poor's determined those conditions were no longer met back when it stripped the U.S. of its AAA credit rating in 2011. It cited a weakening in the effectiveness, stability, and predictability of American policymaking and political institutions. Well, Fitch agreed when it announced its downgrade in August, saying there has been a steady deterioration in standards of government over the last 20 years. And that repeated debt limit political standoffs and last-minute resolutions have eroded confidence in fiscal management. Well, Moody's has now weighed in as well. Its note on the potential credit implications of a government shutdown notes the weakness of U.S. institutional and governance strength and the fractious bipartisan politics around a relatively disjointed and disruptive budget process. Thus, a downgrade from the agency is now a real possibility. What effect that has on interest rates in the publicly traded secondary treasury market remains to be seen. Bloomberg's Joe Wiesenthal writes in his blog today that the big market story is obviously the sell-off in anything that has an interest rate attached to it. He says that every day, well, except maybe this morning, it seems there's another headline about rates hitting their highest level since 2007, or mortgage rates hitting their highest in over 20 years. Anxiety about the country's fiscal position is at its loudest in a long time, with economists lamenting over the rising share of GDP that will be paid out in terms of higher interest going forward. Interestingly, as Garfield Reynolds notes, the U.S. dollar has been a real winner in this period. As Melody indicated at the top of the show today, dollar index up over 106. Reynolds says, after all, the U.S. right now is a high-yielding country and also a high-growth country. Wiesenthal says, though, that's not a terrible combo. He claims, like, measuring currency performance is always a little shaky because if you're comparing two of them, you can't be sure whether you're really measuring the numerator or the denominator. Gold, he says, is nice because it's a safe haven, like a currency at times, but he calls gold obviously distinct. Well, it is distinctively a good long-term investment for sure. And what he notes is interesting is that at least over the last 3 months, the Bloomberg Dollar Index has been outperforming gold with strong relative gains over the last few weeks in particular. On the one hand, this might not be what you'd expect if the market were rendering some big negative verdict on the health of U.S. fiscal and economic policy. That's ironic. On the other hand, Wiesenthal believes that U.S. government bonds are currently paying a real and rising rate of return. And whereas gold literally has a negative yield in effect thanks to carrying costs, storage costs, it may make sense that the dollar's currently what's in demand, but it won't be for long. Gold and silver, still the long-term investment of choice. Hey, tell us how you feel about this position. Email your comments to discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. We'll read your insights on a future program. Hey, once again, our latest American Survival newsletter has hit the streets, again featuring Doug Nolan's weekly credit bubble bulletin blog. We got Apothecary Herb's Wendy Wilson's Food for Thought column this week on AI-led training for neurosurgeons. Melody's weekly financial market recap shows mixed results over the past week. Plus, I have a piece called In Search of Goldilocks. Economist Newt Wicksell wrote way back in 1898, there's a certain rate of interest on loans which is neutral in respect to commodity prices and tends neither to raise nor to lower them. In other words, there's a Goldilocks interest rate out there. one that isn't so low that it ushers in inflation, yet not so high that it tips the economy into recession. One model defines the neutral rate as the real short-term interest rate expected to prevail when an economy is at full strength and inflation is stable. Elizabeth Buchwald believes that theoretical perfect rate exists, and it's likely the Fed's missing puzzle piece needed to achieve a soft landing, where inflation is tame but a recession avoided. But in practice, she adds, it's hard to find. We only know it by its works, Fed Chair Jerome Powell has pointed out, but you only know when you get there and by the way the economy reacts. Well, Powell and company, again, has raised the benchmark Fed funds rate 11 times since inflation hit a four-decade high last year. That's made it a lot more costly for businesses and consumers alike to borrow money, which means they can't spend as much as they otherwise would. And when demand falls and people spend less, businesses have a tougher time raising prices. Inflation remains well above the Fed's 2% target. The target ostensibly means price stability. But if officials continue hiking rates to get inflation down further, they were sending the entire economy into recession with far, far too many jobs lost. If, as Buchwald notes, the Fed waits too long to act or doesn't do enough, a much higher than desirable level of inflation can become ingrained, making it much harder to break. Achieving the neutral interest rate, however, that could take care of the dilemma. The Fed's dot plot, updated at last week's meeting, suggests the Fed's likely to raise rates one more time this year. At the same time, they're projecting that they'll cut the Fed funds rate by just 25 basis points from its current range of 5.25% to 5.5% by the end of 2024. So even with short-term rates above 5% right now, the Fed's making a case that the labor market and inflation will only slow bit by little bit, propped up right now because of strong consumer spending. But Ned Graham believes the Fed is wrong, and that both the Fed funds rate and market-based treasury yields will come down a lot faster than economists expect. Short-term treasuries up to 2 years, which are most closely linked to Fed policy, look especially attractive at the moment. The 10-year treasury yield is up over 4.52 at a new 15-year high as of this morning. 2-year yield was at 5.13. And as the Fed shifts to rate cutting next year, the inverted yield curve with short-term rates higher than long-term rates could normalize, meaning the 2-year yield has further to fall. Plus, the longer-term U.S. debt outlook could limit the downside for 10-year Treasury yields. In noting the Fed's latest hawkish guidance, Graham writes that policymakers are forecasting the highest possible rates without losing credibility. I think some of that credibility has been long gone. In either case, Wall Street is dubious the Fed will go higher. As of this morning, anyway, Fed funds future traders see only a 41% probability of another rate hike this year. Odds of a rate hike at the next policy meeting on November 1st are just 26%. So, assuming the Fed keeps rates again as is, markets may begin to doubt their hawkish guidance. That's why Graham says policymakers threw an anchor as far upstream as they could, because they want to limit a fall in market-based interest rates that would work against their tightening. Consumers have kept spending despite higher prices and one after the other interest rate hikes, thanks largely, initially anyway, to $2 trillion in savings they built up during the pandemic. But with student loan payments now resuming and expanded jobless benefits, child tax credits, and food stamps expiring, the pandemic supports for households are now just a memory, or soon will be. Consumers have been spending most of those their savings since late 2021, and now in especially lower-income households, the savings are essentially gone. Fed figures suggest that as of July, household savings were down to $706 billion, 3.5% of disposable income versus 9.1% before the pandemic hit. And even with a bump in credit card debt, the end of savings is surely to hit household spending in the coming months. It could get worse fast, too, with student loan interest set to resume at rates in excess of 6% in many cases. Some believe that borrowers may use some, most, or all of their pent-up savings to pay down their principal. In September, Graham points out, they're running at an annual rate of $80 billion higher than just a year ago. And then there's QT, quantitative tightening. It's about the rise in market-based government yields at last Wednesday's press conference. Chair Powell cited stronger growth and more supplies of treasuries. And part of that extra supply comes from the Fed's QT. The unloading of government-backed mortgage securities and treasuries it had bought early in the pandemic to boost financial market liquidity. The Fed's letting up to $95 billion in bonds run off its balance sheet each month. The Fed's balance sheet leapfrogged early in the pandemic as it bought loads of securities to keep the economy, or more was it Wall Street, afloat. The balance sheet peaked at $8.965 trillion in April 2022, and since then, it's gradually fallen to $8.075 trillion as of last Wednesday. It briefly rose in March and April this year when the Fed loaned over $150 billion to banks via its discount window after the demise of Silicon Valley Bank. Plus, Treasury borrowing surged after Congress agreed to suspend the government's debt ceiling in early June. And the recent upward trend of the 10-year yield started after Treasury announced it would issue $1 trillion in new debt in the third quarter, over $274 billion higher than previously estimated. That high 10-year Treasury yield is raising the cost of borrowing to buy a car, or especially to pay for a mortgage on a new home. That's causing consumers to just delay big purchases and take advantage of high yields to save more for a down payment on a new home or whatever. The Fed's updated economic forecast appears to be ignoring the fact that higher Treasury yields will have on GDP growth and inflation. All the risk to their forecast appears to be to the downside. If the economy begins to struggle under higher rates, the Fed may not just cut more than it currently expects. If the headline unemployment raises rise above the Fed's 4.1% target, Graham and others say its policymakers could decide to slow or stop QT altogether. And that would give even additional relief to the Treasury market and its favorite too-big-to-fail Wall Street banks. You remember what happens to Goldilocks at the end of the fairy tale. The end is reached when the bears return. As the moral of the story suggests, actions do matter and can hurt others, stressing the importance of self-control and respect. Mr. Powell and Company, are you listening? Well, that's all the time we have for today's program. I'll return on Thursday. I believe we're doing a replay tomorrow. But thanks, as always, to our production engineer, Todd Waite, and to you, our loyal listeners, for tuning into Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen. Please be safe out there. Have a good evening. Bye-bye. If I got me a wealthy